Tonight, it's good to have your Bible, the Word of God, and this is message number 12 on building lives on solid foundations. Remember, our church has a theme for this year: thrive, don't just survive in 2025. And we can do that. We can do that by taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. And I intend to do that, and you can do that. You can determine to do that. And then we had last year go through God's open doors in 2024. Many of us can say and testify we did do that, and God blessed as we moved out and went through the open doors. And I believe that God has pushed back the enemy's timeline and given us a window of opportunity. Certainly we want to be ready to take care of that. And so we preached last week on wanted wives ready and willing to bear children. Wives ready to be and willing to bear children. I believe we have young people that are here today, young men and young ladies that will have marriages and families, and you have an opportunity to do it God's way and not listen to the world. You can do it God's way. And the Bible is very clear. We said in our last message, now I'm kind of reviewing because this is way before Christmas, right? That was our last message, message 11, on wives ready and willing to bear children. We've looked at the husband's role, the wife's role, marriage, and now we're looking at the home and the family. And see how your family fits in with this. And you young people, think about what God wants for you when you get married and how God wants you to do things, because that'll happen sooner than you think. And the Bible says, I will therefore that the younger women marry. Marriage is the norm. Singleness is a special gift of God, but marriage is the norm. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Sometimes a person has the gift of singleness, and he has opportunities through that gift, but that's not the norm. During times of extreme persecution, Paul spoke about that in 1 Corinthians. There is a need to be single. But marriage is the norm throughout the church history. The Catholics tried to change that for their ministerial leaders, and you can see where that happened to them. They became perverts, and now they're being sued and have spent millions of dollars, and it was all over money that they didn't want their pastors to marry because they wanted them to give their money to the church. The church paid more in the long run. Stay with God. No matter what man is doing, stay with God. And so here's what God said. We already went over this. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Listen, when a woman gets married, she needs to have kids. Amen? Needs to have kids, otherwise she's going to be doing things where the enemy will begin to speak reproachfully about her and about that man and about that home. And you do not want to get that happening. And so we need to get down to building lives on solid foundations. Listen, means building marriages on solid foundation, which means first come love, then come marriage, and then comes Mrs. Luke with the baby carriage. Luke is like, whoa, wait a minute, Pastor. But I'm just saying that that's God's plan. That's the way it goes. And so it says here that the older women are to be examples of that. That they got married, they bare children, they guided their house. 1 Timothy 5:14. And it says in Titus 2:3-5, the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness. That what should the older women do? Teach the women to be sober, to love their husbands. Phileo, that means respond to their husbands. To love their children, to be chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands. And therefore, you know, a wife is to give up her career, her plans, her name and submit to the husband, to help the husband. My wife had so many gifts and abilities, and she was a college grad. She was offered all these opportunities in Florida and in other places, all this money. And guess what? She said, no, I'm going to marry Randy Bloom, and I'm going to help that man. And God knew I needed help. And she gave her life to do that. And then she bore my children and my children and my children and my and on it went. And then helped to raise those children. Amen. And I'm just saying that that is the calling of a woman, and it keeps her out of trouble. It keeps the woman out of trouble. She's busy doing what she should be doing. And I was not afraid to say what she should be doing. I'm not afraid to say it now. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I looked that word up, replenish, in Webster's 1828. And some people think it means to replenish it again. And they think there was some creation before the creation, which is a bunch of baloney. Replenish in Webster's 18 means just fill it. Just fill the earth. Fill it. And he said that to Adam and Eve. Well, some people say that was before the fall. Well, I said last time, no, you look at after the fall, he did it again to Noah after the flood. He said, and you to Noah and his wife and kids, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply there. Remember we said zero population? I had people in our relatives, my wife knows who I'm talking about. They had that philosophy. Remember that? The relatives. And they said, we're only going to have two kids because we want to replace ourselves. But God doesn't say have two kids only. God says be fruitful and what? Multiply. Two times two is four. At very minimum. And from there. Now, we had six, and then it was stopped because the doc said stop because my wife couldn't have any more after that. But because she had nine pregnancies. But at any rate, God says be fruitful and multiply, and you can replenish the earth. And so, the Bible says that parents can give you money. They can leave you money, and they should leave money to their children, grandchildren. You know, you should be a good steward of what you have. The Bible talks about that. Houses and riches are an inheritance of fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Only the Lord can give you a prudent wife. You say, well, the Bible says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. How do I find a wife? Well, I had these guys going out of the will of God to find a wife. They were leaving our church. They were going over here. Those guys that did that, they still aren't married. They're still not married. And they messed up their lives. One guy did get married. He got divorced. It was a mess. I remember these guys. I said, stay right here. Don't chase that. You don't find a wife that way. You obtain a wife by God giving you one because you're doing something for him. And he says, I'm going to give you a helper that is just for you. And so, by the way, you want to lose a good woman, get off track with God. Stay on track. By the way, that's why we talk about women and what they should be. But do you know there are many more scriptures on what the man should be? It much more to the man as far as his loving leadership in her life. He's to love her sacrificially. He's to love her intimately like Christ loves his own body. He's to love her sanctifyingly so that the effect of his life stirs her up to God. I had friends that did that with me, and Charlie Ware had that effect on me. He stirred me up to want to get a hold of his God and to have his faith, and God got a hold of me. And when my wife met me, that's what she saw, and she said, man, this guy's got my heart. Wow, I love this guy. I want to be with this guy. And she hadn't seen another guy like me around her church, so she was like, whoa, he's got my heart. And that's what welded her to me right at the get-go. So I'm just saying that God speaks about that. Now, we have preached on that, and so tonight I want to just get into, and I won't be long, but I want to get into wanted. Last time it was wanted wives ready and willing to bear children. Amen. Tonight is wanted children that obey your training in a biblical family. Wanted children that obey your training in a biblical family. And I want to go back to where we were, Ephesians. We're looking at Ephesians 5. Now we're going to Ephesians chapter 6. And we want to talk about that. And I want to introduce the first point tonight, at least the first point, maybe begin the second. Wanted children that obey your training in a biblical family. Number one, by having a family that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember that? Everything comes back to that. You know, I had Charlie Ware tell me this, and I'm going to tell you tonight. He said, Bloom, you got to remember, when you're trying to fix a problem, don't lose the relationship. Bloom, when you're trying to fix a problem, don't lose the relationship. And I was problem-oriented. I was goal-oriented. I got to solve this. But in solving a problem, you can create a greater problem by losing, first of all, your relationship with the Lord. Okay, Lord, I see the problem. Thank you. I got it from here. Oh, that's a big mistake. Remember Peter? Okay, Lord, I see what needs to be done here. They're attacking you. I got it from here. And he started swinging the sword, and he cut the guy's head off almost. He ducked like Donald Trump, and boom, they hit it. He took his ear off. Malchus took his ear right off. And you know what the Lord had to do behind Peter? He had to pick that ear up and heal behind him. That's the way you're going to be. That's the way you're going to be if you try to solve problems by losing the relationship with the Spirit of Christ within you. You're going to find, and this is true in the husband-wife relationship, it's true in the parent-child relationship, as soon as you leave being yielded to the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, you are on your own and you're going to cause problems. That's called soul control, where I'm going to do it without the Lord. No, that is not going to work. Remember I said you're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Well, the Bible says that. I'm quoting the Bible. You're supposed to walk in the Spirit. My mother, you never see my mother without her walker. And I have to admit, I goof around with her walker. I'm going around the house doing. She said, you watch out. It'll happen to you. And I'm like, oh boy. But you know, people that are older, they need that walker. They got to lean on that walker because they don't have the ability to walk. Now listen, you need a walker. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you could skip up the steps or whatever. You need a walker. And that walker is the Holy Spirit of God. You can't even walk without him. I remember Charlie Ware when he first got saved. He was a black guy, 6'3", played basketball, and he would walk like this. And he said one time the Lord was like speaking to his heart, Charlie, I don't like the way you're walking. You don't like the way I'm walking? No. I want you to walk like this. And he just changed his walk. Now, I'm saying that God gives you the Bible so that you can apply it to your walk. And the Holy Spirit prompts you to follow the walk of the Spirit, which is according to the Bible right here. And so this is what is needed and wanted. We need, listen to me, every member of the family to be filled with the Spirit. Just to go back now, we're looking at Ephesians 6, but go back to 5:18, and I'll read it. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, I've said it before, if I went in the pulpit tonight and I was under the influence of alcohol, and I was drunk and I was slurring my speech, you would say that man is not right with God. He shouldn't be in the pulpit. Well, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're not right with God. And you say, how can I be filled? You need to stop grieving the Spirit by confessing and forsaking sin in your life. You need to stop grieving the Holy Spirit. I believe there are people tonight in this church, members of this church, they're grieving the Holy Spirit just as sure as I'm standing here right now tonight. And you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit that way. And number two, you stop quenching the Holy Spirit. That means when the Spirit prompts you to pray, when the Spirit prompts you to witness, when the Spirit prompts you to do what the Bible says, you do it. You do it. And otherwise, you're throwing cold water on the Holy Spirit. You're quenching Him. Spirit prompts you to say amen. You don't say amen. You're quenching the Holy Spirit. You're afraid of man or whatever it is. I remember I was in Bible college, and I was afraid of what the professors would think if I said amen, because I would appear unintellectual. And then God said, you say amen, Bloom. Says in the Bible. I went, amen. 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 And I started doing it. I didn't want to quench the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I ran into Tom Williams. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said, Tom Williams stands out. He's different than my professors. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be like my deadheaded professors. Some of them were deadheaded, I'll be honest with you. And I don't want to be like that. I want to be a soul winner, I said. I want to be a man of prayer. I want to be a man that walks with God. And that man stirred me up. Charlie Ware stirred me up. I'm saying God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's not just in church. That is in the home with the husbands, loving the wife. And so what happens here is that if you look at Ephesians 5:18, he tells about the outworkings of the Spirit-filled life. And I want you to notice there, go back to Ephesians 5:18, look at the very next verse in Ephesians 5:19. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Are you giving thanks always for all things? Do you find yourself singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord? You see, that is a test of whether you're filled with the Holy Spirit, how it applies to you personally. And I say to you that needs to be in your life, and you need to submit to the Holy Spirit, and you'll see those outworkings in your life. And then it relates to your submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the various relationships in the home. Wives, he says, submit to your husbands. Wives, reverence your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church as his own body and his own bride. Nourish her, cherish her. Love your wife and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give her a Holy Spirit-filled love at all times. And then, children, obey your parents. And then it goes on into other things. Parents, fathers, he says, provoke not your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, the Spirit-filled life has a relationship to yourself. You're always giving thanks. No matter what happens in your life, you're always giving thanks. Boy, I see so many Christians, they complain. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not filled with the Holy Ghost. And people, they don't sing to the Lord. They don't sing godly music. They don't have the right kind of music. They got the rock that rolls. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're a fake. And I'm just saying, I don't want to be that way. I want to be the real deal. And so then he says, okay, then if you're the real deal, your wife should feel in the home when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. My wife can tell when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And it either rebukes her or it encourages her. But you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. And wives, your husband can tell if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And children, I can tell when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you can't remember a blame thing that was said on Wednesday night, on Thursday, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can tell. And God's got things for children to do and to learn. And it's so important because you're going to be tested, not just by Pastor Bloom tomorrow. You're going to be tested when you meet a guy someday, when you meet a girl someday. And it'll happen sooner than you think. It'll happen sooner than you think. You won't be ready. If you girls haven't been learning from a godly woman, preferably a mom, but a mother in Christ if need be, all those things that the Bible says you need to do, if you're not learning that now, you're not going to be a good wife. You're not going to be ready. You're not going to be a good mother. You're not going to be ready. We have to follow what God wants for our lives. Too many times believers have been following the world. And so this tells us you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you have all these different relationships. And it goes on in Ephesians right up until verse 9 of chapter 6. And then I want to say tonight that there's been a moral breakdown in the culture worldwide, and we've seen it in America. The family is being ripped apart, shredded. Now, what is the ultimate answer for America? Thank God for the MAGA movement, but that is not the ultimate answer. If you think that's the ultimate answer, you are dumb. And you're double dumb. That's not the ultimate. Now, I thank God for the MAGA movement. You know that. But that just gives us a better opportunity to build on solid foundations, because America is shredded. The home is dysfunctional. It's non-functional. It's ripped apart. You've got Uncle Sam as the dad of children. You've got women having babies one after the other to get more money from the government. I've seen it firsthand in this city. That's not the way it's meant to be. No, that's not what God wants. And so we need to get back to what God says. And this culture is being ripped apart. You say, well, what's the ultimate answer? It's a movement of the Spirit of God through the men and women of God and children. Teenagers. We need teenagers that will walk with God and serve God at a young age and be willing to get your life ready for what God has for you right now, because it's the Holy Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for it. I believe our culture has been experiencing what the book of Romans says in chapter 1, verse 18. You say, what's that, Pastor? God is angry with the American culture. God is angry with the American culture. And you say, well, what are you talking about? How does he express that anger? The Bible says God expresses his anger by saying, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. He just backs away. He just lets you go. He gives you up. And when he gives you up, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? A reprobate mind cannot make moral principle decisions. Cannot do it. And it's because of the fact that people knew about the God of the Bible and they turned away from him. And we've got a lot of college educated idiots. In fact, the worst people in America are college educated females living in the suburbs. They're the worst. They vote bad. They're dumb, double dumb. They've listened to ungodly professors who are fools. And they're following that teaching. And it is destructive. And they've got husbands that go along with it. And it's just a mess in this country, in the college realm. Because professing themselves wise, they became fools. Can I say something to you? The answer is not in morality. You don't get morality. The Bible says in Romans 1, the fountain of immorality is always not immoralness, it's ungodliness. He said it's when we reject God. And that's where we are in this culture. We're talking about building lives on solid foundations, and we're talking about children that obey your training in a biblical family, but we're saying that the family has to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to be a biblical family. And if you don't know God like has happened in this country, and you've turned away from God, turned away from the church that believes the Bible, God says, I give you up. And then you go to these colleges and universities and maybe even make a lot of money while professors are teaching you evolution, which is a false god, a god that is the god of secular humanism. And it's a false god. And that leads to it. Here's what it leads to. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. That is all kind of impure sexuality, totally messed up, that we see going on in the public school and the colleges. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. And you see maliciousness, don't you? Hatred. Hatred for people that love America and love good things. Hatred, maliciousness, doing terrible things. We see that happening right now in our culture. Full of envy, murder, abortions, and all the violence, and Antifa, and all the rest of it, and violence. Debate, people debating against what's right. Deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters. Seeing that going on all the time. You know, easy to pull something down. Easy to take a match out and burn something down. Easy to knock statues down. You know, knock all these statues down of American heroes. And these are people that are full of murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, very proud, boasters. Inventors of evil things. Oh, they're always concocting schemes. How to kill Trump. How to do this. How to do that. All these wicked schemes. How to do a plandemic, you know. All this stuff that we've been talking about. People are coming up with these things. But notice what it says next. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents, and it goes on to other things. And so that is something that shows the cultural breakdown in our society, that it involves disobedience to parents. In other words, people think it's cool to disobey their parents. That's a cool thing to do. You know, disobey the parents. Don't listen to your parent. Don't respect your parent. Don't think a lot of your parent. We're just cool kids. We understand one another. I mean, we're 13 years of age. We're at the same age. And I understand you understand things when you're and you fit in with your age group. That's normal. But you should reflect, if you're a spirit-filled teenager, that whoever I hang around with, you better know I respect my mom. I respect my dad. By the way, in the culture back then, it was just the father. No, it should be the mother and the father. That's the Jewish mindset. Parents, disobedient to parents, plural, it says. That's the mother and the father. And then the Apostle Paul wrote about the last days and prophecy of the last days. And here's what he said. Look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. By the way, these movies, my daughter has VidAngel, and some of these movies, it's just like, if you have VidAngel on, because they're just cursing all the time. They think it's cool to curse. Can I tell you, if it's Donald Trump, who I look up to, or anybody else, it's not cool to curse. Bob Bolas, don't curse, Bobby. Wash your mouth out with soap. Don't curse. It's not cool. I text TJ and said how I appreciated him putting God first, and he got back to me a couple times, and pray for TJ Fitzgerald, and I try to encourage him, because I believe he has faith in the Lord. He needs encouragement. But I'm just saying that it is not cool to curse. If you think it's cool to curse, you're a fool. Because a fool curses God. And so blasphemers, what's the next one? Get this, guys, 2 Timothy 3, after talking about people that curse, what's the next one? Blasphemers, and then it says disobedient to parents. Look at that. In verse number 2, disobedience to parents. So God says, in the last days, just before Jesus comes back, you're going to see a lot of teenagers that are disobedient to parents. We see kids that come into church, they're disobeying. Hey, if they're on a bus and they don't obey your commands, you can't get them, then keep them home.
Amen.
Keep them home.
Amen.
Don't bring them to church. If they can't follow your command, you say, but my numbers will go down. That's all right. You'll be better off in the long run. And God will bless you. And disobedient to parents. It's not cool to disobey. And it goes with blasphemy. Because if you'll curse God, you'll put your parent down. You'll mock your parent. You'll cut your parent down to your friend. You'll whisper and talk behind your back and complain about your parent. And God sees you if you're complaining about your parent to your friend. And so in both of those lists, during the terrible times of the leaving God and apostasy, when the foundations are being shaken and our culture's being ripped apart, disobedient to parents is listed on there. And in Romans 1:18, it makes it clear that ungodliness always leads to unrighteousness, and it leads to bad things in the home and in the family. And the Bible speaks about respecting and honoring your father and your mother. And we need to get a hold of that very thing right there. And so I want to just say this in closing. Wanted children that obey your training in a biblical family by having a family that's filled with the Holy Spirit. If your family is filled with the Holy Spirit, your parents are going to be helping you to do the right thing. But you're going to be cooperating with your parent. And you're going to say, yeah, mom, yeah, dad, I want to do that. Because it's great when the father's filled with the Holy Spirit, when the mother's filled with the Holy Spirit, and when the children are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what? I would to God that every church member was filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. All the time. Am I grieved with some church members? Yeah. Watch out, I'm not grieved for you. Because I'm grieved at times in my spirit. Because I say, oh, they're not filled with the Spirit. I know it. Oh, God, they need to be filled with the Spirit. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit at all times. And that's no place to be. And in a home, the father needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the key. He's the key. And the mother needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the children need to be. And therefore, I always say revival is re-Bible. Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to submit to the preaching, the teaching, and what's written here in the Scripture. And the second point is by having a commitment to the commandments that are listed in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Now, there has been an abandonment of this commandment. And I want to read Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Just follow me. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, there's two commands here. One is obey your parents, and the next is to honor them. I want to ask you a question. Which of these two commands is permanent throughout your lifetime? Good, Luke, you had your hand up right away.
Honor.
He's right. Honor. My mother's 94. I'm going to be 75. I am to honor my mother. Do I joke with her? All the time. Do I mess with her? All the time. But I honor my mother. And you say, how do you honor your mother? I want to make sure my mother's taken care of. I want to make sure my mother is taken care of. And that requires some work and some effort. Too many people are farming their parents out. Just get rid of them, go somewhere, pay some money, farm them out, let them go. I do not believe that's biblical. I just don't believe that's biblical. It doesn't honor family. I like the Amish. They have a little house right by their house. And they make sure they can take care of their parents until it's impossible. Until it's impossible. And I'm just saying honor your father and your mother, and that means take care of them, even when they're old and can't take care of themselves. My mother always tells me, I changed your diaper, I did this, I did that. Now you can change my diaper. I said, that's not happening. No, I'm just kidding, but she doesn't say that. And but I'm just saying, I'm talking about honoring your father and your mother. And these family relationships are set up by God. And God didn't throw that out with the Bible. The Bible, where the Bible is honored, God strengthens marriages. God strengthens children in the home and strengthens fathers and their relationship and so forth and so on. So, are you married? Get some kids. Raise those kids now. You're young enough to do it. Get with it. and then have a commitment to these commands here about the parents. You know, the Pharisees, the Pharisees thought, you know what, we're very spiritual people. The Pharisees were very spiritual people. Hey, Brother Andy. And the Pharisees thought, you know, what we're going to do, we're going to improve on the commandment of God. We're going to say Corban. And what Corban meant was that you are my obligation to you to honor you. According to the commandment, honor your father and mother, one of the Ten Commandments. My obligation to you is done if I give a gift to the church or give a gift to the temple. And then I give that gift and I say, Corban, that is in place of me honoring you. Now I don't have any more responsibility to you. I think some people have done that today by farming their parents out and putting them in a nursing home and saying, okay, bye. I may see you at Christmas or, you know. That's not God's command. That's not honoring your father and your mother. You say, but my whole life, I can't do that. I'm too busy. Your life is screwed up. You need to order your life after the Word of God. And we're not changing the Word of God for your convenience. This is God's command. And too many people in America, and that's why the American culture is screwed up, ripped up, messed up, and we need to get back to the Bible. Amen? And you young people, you can start right now. You can honor your parents, but you can also, if you're a minor and you're living in the home, you are obligated not only to honor, that's your attitude of respect, but you're obligated. Can I read that? But you're obligated not only to honor and respect your parents, you're obligated, listen to this, to obey them. And what they say, you obey them, and it's not cool to be rude to parents, to talk back to parents. And I remember my wife. I think she was, some guy liked her when she was a teenager, and he wanted to go out with her, and my father-in-law was trying to kind of hang out with you, wasn't he? And this guy. And this guy said, let's lose your father. And my wife said, I'm going to lose you like a dirty shirt. That was it. That was the end for him. Boom, he was gone. Why? Because the guy was trying to get her to dishonor her father, who was just trying to be nice. And I know her father, he's a great guy. And no, that's not the way to get a girl. I mean, that's not the way. I remember when my youngest daughter got married, her husband came all the way from Hiles Anderson College, drove out here, went out to take me out to dinner, to ask me permission concerning my daughter. And we went to Old Country Buffet at that time. And he went to pay with his credit card, and it was declined. He tried again, it was declined. And then I had to pay for him. But he went, then he drove home, and he slipped on the ice and bashed his car. And he did all that just to see me, to ask permission to be with my daughter. And he still is with her. And he's a good man. He was a bus captain and a good man. I'm just saying he got married in a white suit. And he wouldn't let me tell anybody why he had a white suit on. But he had a white suit on because he was a virgin. He was married in this church and he was a virgin. And she had a white thing on, same way. Thank God for that. But I'm just saying, you don't get that without obeying your parents. You don't get that without obeying those that are in authority over you, that are watching out for you. And when we preach, it's good for a man not to touch a woman, and we say, don't kiss until you get to the marriage altar. That's biblical. I've had kids, they start holding hands with one another, and 2 weeks later, they're fornicating. I've had people say, well, I can't really know if I'm going to love somebody unless I have blah, blah, blah with them. That's a bunch of baloney. If it's built on God's love, it'll stick together. Those kind of things built on eros, fornication, that doesn't last. That's why this culture is so screwed up. They don't even know a man from a woman. They don't even have, they don't know, it's male and female. That's what the Bible says. Simple. Professing themselves wise, they're fools. And I'm just saying that we're talking here, this is our 12th marriage on building lives on solid foundations. You have the opportunity, you young people, 13 years old, younger, older, you have the opportunity by deciding, I'm going to stick with a commitment to the commands to obey my parents and to honor my parents and to build something that is going to last, something that's going to be very strong. And, I think of my wife. My wife, she when she was a young lady, she got to be a teenager. And when you become a teenager, sometimes people want to tell you the facts of life, the birds and the bees and all that, and how we came to have children and how men and women have children. They want to talk to you about that. And what my wife would do? She would say, I don't want to hear a word you're saying about that. I'll get that from my mother, or I'll get that from my parents. I do not want to hear a word that you're saying about that. And she would shut them down, just like boom. And you know what? That's what you ought to do. Somebody comes up to you. Hey, I know how people have kids. I remember people tried to tell me that. I listened and they were telling me craziness. But I'm just saying, my wife said, no, I do not want to hear that from you. I want to hear that from my mother. And she did. And thank God when I got married, my wife had a white dress on. She was a virgin, not only in her body, but in her mind. You see, Lot's daughters were virgins in their body, but not in their mind. They had let people in Sodom talk to them. And you know how it's happening today with our young people? What do you do with cell phones with your young people? Let me interview you here. What do you do with your young people?
We have one cell phone that we send one kid with occasionally when they're out of whatever. They don't have them. They don't own them.
Amen. It's a computer.
Right.
I've had so many kids. I've had boys click on to something, and they're hooked on porn for the rest of their life. I'm thinking of somebody right now, not a member of this church, but somebody I've counseled, somebody hooked on porn as a young boy all the rest of his life. I've seen girls do it and then be just dirty in their mind and destroying other people around them. I'm saying, God says, and this is the message, wanted children that obey your training in a biblical family. We'll talk about the role of the parents, but we're talking about children. And we're talking about having a commitment to the command to honor your father and your mother, both of them, not just one or the other, both of them. Why? Because the father and mother are one. They're one. By the way, you shouldn't be shacking up with somebody and raising children unless you're in a covenant of marriage.
Right.
Covenant of marriage. We got too many people. Oh, yeah, I want to have you help raise my children. You're not even committed to marry them. You're not in a marriage relationship. No, they need a two-parent family that are one because of a marriage. And what's marriage? It's a covenant before God and before witnesses that you would be joined together in the most intimate relationship on earth as a husband and wife. You say, what do I fit in as an older person? You encourage young people. What the preacher's preaching, what the Bible's teaching, you build your marriage that way. You build your home that way. And get married. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes her with a baby carriage. Have children. Adopt children. God does that. Raise children. Let's have some homes and some families where you can see the work of the Holy Spirit playing out in that family. Amen and amen.